The Power, a 9-part sci-fi series based on the award-winning novel by Naomi Alderman, begins on Prime Video this Friday. The series imagines a world where teenage girls suddenly develop the ability to shoot electric bolts from their fingertips. An ambitious premise indeed. The series arms itself with multiple storylines and a starry cast. Toni Collette and John Leguizamo front this highly anticipated adaptation of the 2016 bestseller. Chris Wasser has been watching The Power and he's with me in studio. You right now. There are a lot of locations and a lot of characters introduced to us in the first episode, Chris, but essentially this is a group of girls who are discovering this incredible power that they have that they don't know what to do with it effectively.
That is essentially, yeah, the idea that teenagers around the world are literally waking up one morning and discovering that they can shoot electrical bolts from their fingertips. And at first, you know, you have a series of accidents taking place in Washington, in Nigeria, in London, and slowly but surely the girls who, and of course this being a sci-fi where the teenagers are affected and there's sort of a kind of a superpower angle, the teenagers don't tell their parents, Sean, so there's all sorts of, you know, accidents happening left, right and centre, but sooner or later, you know, they can actually control these powers. And all of these stories start to emerge in different corners of the world of, you know, a city's electricity going, or, you know, there are fires, there are certain incidents, and all of these incidents kind of make their way to political leaders. So the political leader who we're following in this case is Toni Collette's mayor of Seattle, Margot Cleary Lopez is her name. And she's one of the first political leaders to actually take this case seriously, because while all of these teenagers are clearly, you know, being infected at first, that's what everyone thinks it is, with superpowers, everyone else writes it off as a hoax, which is actually quite a clever angle, because while you're watching it, you're thinking, if this happened in real life, and even if you were presented with video footage, which a lot of people are here, you would say, that's a deep fake, that's not real, that's a new trend, it's not real. She's the first one to realise that it's not real. And why is she the first to realise? Because it's happening at home with her daughter.
Right, well, let's listen to the moment when Margot, played by Toni Collette, and her assistant Helen, played by Edwina Finlay, they're looking at a video that's posted online, and it's showing this girl, a teenage girl in Nigeria, who seems to have electrocuted another young teenager.
One of the interns found it. It was posted by some kid in Nigeria, Tunde Ojo, a vlogger with like 12 followers. Anyone with Snapchat can do this, right? It's like filters or something.
God, it looks so real.
And you should see the comments. They are filled with kids saying that it's happening to them or they've seen it before. Electricity coming out of their hands.
All teenage girls?
From what I've seen, yes.
That's Edwina Finlay and Toni Collette there in a scene from The Power, the new Prime Video series that starts, this Friday on Prime Video. Chris Wasser has been watching it for us. As you said, there's that political angle that I might come back to in terms of where she's at in her life and career.
Sure.
But she has a teenage daughter at home, and let's say their relationship, well, I suppose it's classic teenage daughter and mother, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it's a little strange. You know, when we actually first meet Joss, that's Margot's daughter, Toni Collette's character's daughter, she is on her laptop in her room and she's actually posting anonymous comments beneath stories of her mum maybe supporting certain causes and saying, you know, she's actually a bit of a hypocrite because she knows that, let's say, her shoes cost $800. You know, she's just another, you know, useless capitalist, all this kind of stuff. So she's clearly rebelling against her mum and her dad for, you know, her dad's a successful doctor, for maybe not spending enough time with her. And it is, and then she's, you know, further enraged by the fact that once she has these powers, all they want to do is spend time with her, and they're sort of treating her like a test subject. So so there is an interesting dynamic there, and it actually is, like, that's the reason that I kept watching that family. I thought John Leguizamo, his character as well, he's a doctor who starts seeing teenage patients who have weird electrical burns on their arms, and so he's kind of, you know, wondering what this is all about. Is it evolutionary? Is it a virus of some sort? And then we have a political leader in Toni Collette's character who wants to be the first to come out and say that this is real, but do not panic. Let's find a way to kind of, you know, listen to the girls and try and work with them rather than just, you know, locking them up somewhere and putting them in handcuffs, which is exactly what the male leaders want to do.
Yeah, and again, I talked about the mother-daughter relationship in terms of Toni Collette and Joss, the name of the daughter of their daughter. There's also a kind of a strained father-daughter relationship here as well.
Yeah.
And good advice for any father of a teenager and sharing music.
There is but this is Eddie Marson's Gangsters.
This is Joss when she's in the car.
Oh, sorry. Yes. John Leguizamo's character. Yes, when he's trying to kind of just bond with her. Yeah, they're listening to music in the car, but unfortunately her electricity, her electrical powers get in the way.
Yeah. Well, here they are driving along in the car, and he is explaining to her what good music is. Yeah. Always a dodgy thing to do with a teenager. A bit of strong language in the midst of this clip as well.
It was so cool to meet back then. Oh my God. You should check it out sometime. I think you might like it. Because these guys, not only were they fun, but they were socially conscious. You know, woke before even woke was a thing. And the sampling, oh my God, it was everything. They used world music, jazz. I mean, I know everybody samples now, but back then. I get it, I'm a lame gatherer. I'll just drive and shut up. Oh, shit! The fuck? Shit, are you okay?
I'm okay.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. Like a static shock or something.
Joss, was that the same thing that happened with the microwave? Joss.
No.
You can tell me.
No, God, maybe your stereo is just old, like your stupid music.
Joss!
So there you go. Rob, the character there, the dad in that scene, played by John Leguizamo, and he's driving his daughter, Joss. Aluí Carvalho is playing the part of the daughter there. And you can see that we are going to get both that, the microcosm of the family story being told there, and the macrocosm of the big political story behind it as well. But we're not just in America. We're all over the world. tell me a little bit about, there's one storyline that's set in Britain, which is kind of almost like a different, when I saw this one, that's a totally different style of playing. Even.
Yeah, definitely. This is a sci-fi series that keeps interrupting itself, unfortunately. So before we actually go to London, we end up in Nigeria. We follow Tunde, who's an aspiring video journalist. He's the first one who shoots footage that goes viral. We heard that clip earlier. We're in America's Deep South following a teenager named Eve, who's kind of had a very hard time of it. We go to the First Lady of Moldova, Tatiana is her name. We're not quite sure what her story is yet, but presumably she's going to be quite important later on. And in London, we have Roxy, who is the teenage daughter of Eddie Marson's gangster character. Now, Eddie Marson, I see in anything and I go, well, this is going to be quite entertaining, and he is going to chew up some scenery. But he is playing this gangster whose son, who's the half-brother of Roxy, has just gotten married, and Roxy is at this wedding. And on that day when she's at that wedding, we can't say what happened, but something in her life goes sideways. We have the spoiler police at our door, unfortunately. And she wants to go and work for her dad, who's a gangster, so she can get back at these people. But he thinks that she's too emotional, that, you know, you'll ruin, you know, my business. Wait until she sees what she can do with her fingers and with the electrical bolts shooting out of her fingers. It is like an episode of EastEnders every time, the weirdest episode of EastEnders every time these segments interrupt proceedings.
Because one of the scenes, it sees Eddie Marson's character coming in. He's getting married himself and the
cake.
Wife. Yeah, and there's a green wedding cake, and he's annoyed that people might think he's Irish.
Yeah, and he uses some choice language, which I chose to be offended by. Actually, everything's effing this and effing that, and everyone's a geezer, and it's like a cartoon gangster film. Even Guy Ritchie would balk at it. It's unfortunate, you know, and it's also probably the only, there are various subplots and strands going on in this thing, but they always remember to put the power first, front and center. With the London stuff, it's almost as though it's an afterthought. It's completely irrelevant. It's this murky, quite convoluted gangster tale that just has no business being in there. So I think the thing that I'm holding on to at the minute is the family setup, some of the ideas involved in this that were originally in the novel that have kind of reasonably successfully like made their way into the series.
Yeah, because it's important to say that her novel was praised as a seminal feminist work and lauded by Barack Obama. Margaret Atwood, who was a mentor to Alderman when the book won the 2017 Bailey's Women's Prize for Fiction. So clearly I mean, people are thinking in terms of Margaret Atwood and in terms of Naomi Alderman. They must be thinking in terms of the television series here as well.
That's right, yeah. I mean, Margaret Atwood, as you say, she was a mentor to Naomi Alderman and actually had a few ideas that ended up making their way into the book, that have made their way into the series. And yeah, you can definitely see what Naomi is trying to do here. And the series does successfully convey this world where all of a sudden male political leaders, just men in general, are afraid of female power. And when once they see this new evolutionary power, their first instinct is to kind of maybe lock up women or tell them what to do with their bodies or have some sort of control in what they can do with this power. And you're thinking to yourself, that's not sci-fi, that's real life. And the only far-fetched thing about this is the lightning bolt shooting out of their fingers. And I think it works very well when it's not explaining that to us. I think all the best sci-fi stories are the ones that kind of trust that the audience will know what's lurking beneath the surface. It begins to let itself down a little bit every time that, let's say, Colette's Margot makes a political speech where she almost literally spells out the themes for us. So that's we don't need them explained to us. So the ideas are fantastic. The characters are all there. It starts to come into itself probably around episode 3 or 4, because as we probably made it sound, there's an awful lot going on. We have to spend an awful lot of time setting up the story.
All these various strands to the story.
Yes. But it eventually finds its rhythm. And I should say, for a show that had a very wobbly start behind the scenes, to come out of
bad about what happened behind the scenes?
Well, this was one of several shows that were scuppered by the pandemic. So I think it was initially given the green light around 2019, 2020. The book was such an enormous success. And a completely different cast was involved. Leslie Mann was down to play Margot. We had Rainn Wilson at first, and then later Tim Robbins down to play Daniel Darden, who's the governor that's a bit of a thorn in the side of Colette's character. And a few episodes were shot with this cast and also with the original director of The Handmaid's Tale, because that's the vibe they were going for. And those episodes at some point were scrapped, and Toni Collette was brought in, Josh Charles was brought in. So to kind of So this is a series, essentially, in the first few episodes that we've seen, built on reshoots and in tying together, various different shoots that occurred a year and a half apart. So to come out of that and to have some sort of structure still in place, that's a success.
So you can forgive a little bit of this ploddy-ish setting up in the first half hour, 40 minutes of the first episodes. You're going to watch then through to the end? Nine-part series.
I've actually watched four, maybe. I'm on the fifth episode now, which I can't talk about, but I think the one thing that's keeping me on board is that family. I think Toni Collette is always watchable, and this is like the third event television series that she's been a part of in the past 12 months. And I also really like John Leguizamo's character, because he's the only one who seems to be mining a little bit of humour out of it, and he's the only one who stops every now and then and says, "What the hell is going on?" And that's what we're thinking.
We're all thinking.
Yeah, so there's great enjoyment out of them. Go and make yourself a cup of tea every time the London segments come on, and then come back for Toni Collette.
All right, so you're not fond of the
no,
London segment?
No, definitely not.
All right, that's Chris Wasser speaking to us about the first three episodes of which debut on Prime Video this Friday, March the 31st. The remaining episodes will roll out on a weekly basis thereafter.